you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new edition of the Run and Plays podcast presented by Wendy's. What's up, Logan? How are you?
What up, Kareth?
I
am doing so that they don't, all the Warriors fans don't really see. I am ironing my shirt right now.
Okay.
So I hope everyone is, this is how things go around here on the Run and Plays podcast.
Okay, I think we should set the stage and let people know we are recording this a few hours before tip-off in Phoenix, so you are getting ready for work right now. I am in a hotel lobby. We're doing this podcast over the phone today, and then we're going to connect at the arena in just a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, looking forward to seeing your shirt, man. I've been really – your fashion choices have been A+, I think.
Thank you, man. I'm trying, man. I'm just trying to be out here trying to celebrate Black History Month. Shout out Black History Month. And, we're just trying to vibe here. Also, I've never been to Phoenix before, and we're in Phoenix. So it's been cool, man. I like the city. So
We like it now in February.
In February, definitely not in in July, but it's beautiful outside.
Yes. I think this is the first podcast that we have done together. Nope, that's not right. We did one after the trades. But maybe we'll say this is the first one we've done since the dust has settled on all the trades. And we're starting to get to know Andrew Wiggins a little bit better, the Warriors small forward. Because we're doing this before the Phoenix game, right now we just have two sample sizes, right? He played against the Lakers. Yeah. He played against the Heat. So I didn't necessarily look at how many points he was scoring or rebounds or assists. I just noticed versus the Lakers, he played 31 minutes. Versus the Heat, he played 34 minutes. So he's a piece of this already. I think it's just been 6 days since the trade deadline. I just want to acknowledge that what he's doing is difficult. How do you fold yourself into a new team after you played, for your old team, the only team you ever knew in the NBA for 5.5 years? He got off the plane. He played the next day. I've just been impressed so far with the first impression he's made.
I think the biggest thing about Andrew is, people don't really talk about this a lot, but he's still trying to figure out, where to live, he has a baby girl. So he's just trying to figure out a lot of things to, it's a lot of newness here. I talked to him, a couple of days ago, just how are you kind of figuring out the Bay Area. He's like, I don't know. I've just been in hotel rooms this whole time. And, so it's definitely been a time for him. But he's played well. I think the Lakers game was a bit better game for him. He was aggressive throughout. He had a really good spurt in the loss against the Heat in the third quarter. I think he scored about 14 points in the quarter. Helped bring the team back. I think the biggest thing that we need to see from Andrew Wiggins is consistency. And I think the biggest example of that need for consistency was in the loss to Miami, because he helps bring the team back, but I think he took only two shots in the fourth quarter against Miami. So they're trying to find consistency out of him. We'll see what happens, but they have, I think, just over 30 games to do that.
Yeah, the learning curve has been so steep. 6 games already, and I like that you mentioned the human stuff. He doesn't have a place to live yet. Something that I imagine he's going to try to sort out over All-Star break. And you're right. Like, Steve was talking about this, too. That would be Steve Kerr, the Warriors head coach.
Yes.
I like that we're just on a first-name basis. Steve said this.
Steve.
That Wiggins does get about 30 games this season with the team to acclimate, to build relationships with these guys. He'll get to play with Steph this season, and the likelihood that Steph comes back, we're going to get that update on March 1st. Because Steve said something at practice that I just wanted to throw out there again for emphasis. It took Kevin Durant 6 months to feel comfortable in the Warriors system. And we know how gifted and brilliant KD is. So 3 months seems quick even, or like the minimum, right? So I'm happy Wiggins is here now to sort of catch his breath and establish something and really hit the ground running for next season especially.
Yeah, I was on the Kerr said the other day, you know, the reason why he's happy that they brought him in during the trade deadline instead of bringing him in, you know, maybe around the draft, or because he gets to play with these guys. He gets to get more game time in the system as opposed to trying to acclimate himself throughout the summer and try to simulate things. And I think that this was the opportune time to get him was, you know, when he has a chance to play alongside Steph Curry and Draymond to close out the season.
Yeah, and I think he's made a great first impression. I wanted to make sure I had introduced myself, just said, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm going to be interviewing you, like really looking forward to getting to know you and seeing your game. And Andrew Wiggins is very soft-spoken. He's pleasant, like he's very kind to interact with, but he doesn't give you a lot emotionally, right, in interviews. He answers the questions and he's thoughtful, but I don't think he really shows a lot of who he is, which is interesting to me because, and I respect it actually, I'm trying to come around to that point. Like the NBA allows guys to let their personality shine to the fullest. And there's this whole industry, like content, like trying to draw out these personalities, these likes, these dislikes, these little beefs or friendships or whatever. I feel like it's very hard to be a protective person in the NBA now because fans want to know who you are. They want to know everything about you. They want you to kind of put your business, all your business out there, right? So I wonder what it's like for a soft-spoken guy like Andrew to be a star in this league, to be a first-round draft pick, and to now play with the Warriors. His very first game was against the Lakers on ABC. Okay, like, can you imagine stepping into
debut.
That? Oh, my goodness. So, you know, Logan, I was trying to learn a little bit more about who is Andrew Wiggins. So at Shootaround today, I talked to Aaron Miles. They both went to Kansas, so they've got that Kansas basketball, like the family kind of connection. And Aaron Miles lived in Lawrence, he said, in the summers, and he's always kind of around the program. He's tight with the coaches, and he loved that school. So when Andrew was coming up through there in the summer, they would work out together. He just kind of knew of him. He's like, yeah, you know, Andrew really, he goes at his own pace. And it was funny that he said that because Andrew was walking by us as he said that.
At
and
his
he
own
was,
pace.
At his own pace. It was a slow pace. It was like a stroll.
Yeah.
it was just kind of funny. And I'm not trying to call Andrew slow or lazy. Those aren't the right words. I'm trying to say he's very even keeled. You're going to hear that a lot. But I was like, Aaron, is he kind of like Kawhi Leonard, like really competitive, but just not emotional at all? He's like, oh, I didn't really think of that. But you can compare it that way. Like, doesn't really reveal a lot about himself, but competes on the court. So that's good to hear. Aaron said he needs to make sure that people hear that Andrew Wiggins is competitive and he is coachable.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who kind of does his own thing, very even keeled.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I got from him. I think in the limited conversations I have had with him, you know, he loves talking about Toronto. He loves talking about, you know, his hometown of Toronto. You know, he loves talking about that. But for the most part, he is even keeled. And I think that the biggest thing is you want to make sure that his game comes out, not necessarily.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how it comes out. You want to make sure that it comes out, and he's just successful on the court. He's not a Draymond Green rah-rah guy. He's not that, but they do want to find some oomph into him. But I think that he has to do it in his own way and figure out his own way to do that.
Yeah, Aaron Miles said he's not really going to be a guy who celebrates big shots. But the other side of that is if things are going poorly, you know, he's not going to get into any quicksand where he's in his own head and, like, plays really tight. He's not going to press. So he is who he is. And speaking of Canada, you're saying that he was from Toronto. I haven't detected any sort of accent to him, but
you haven't.
I have not heard this.
I have heard an accent. It's probably because I've been listening to a lot of Drake, a lot of Weeknd, a lot of Party Next Door. sniff
out
a Canadian.
Oh, you were serious about that.
I'm so serious about that. I've been listening to that a lot. We have a. I don't know if you know this, KB, but I do have playlists for every major city that comes that we go to, just to kind of get the vibe of that certain city. And we got Toronto coming up, and Toronto is one of my favorite cities. It's coming up next month. And I've been listening to a lot of Party Next Door, a lot of Weekend, a lot of Drake. So, you know, I've been getting the little intricacies of the Canadian accent, and I do hear it. I do hear it in Andrew Wiggins. I don't know.
I disagree, but I'll try to, like, have a more discerning ear to see if I can hear what you hear. I had forgotten that Andrew Wiggins is Canadian, actually. So I started looking up, like, has he ever worked out with the Team Canada men, right? They have not been to the Olympics since 2000, and I was reading that those conversations are happening now. Nick Nurse is going to be the Canada men's head coach, so it's kind of up in the air right now if Wiggins will be an Olympian for Team Canada. So we'll keep an eye
on that.
That's
weird to hear because Canada has so much talent. Talk about Jamal Murray, talk about Andrew Wiggins, and you talk about all these players. It's weird they haven't been to an Olympics since 2000.
2000, yeah.
And
I was surprised as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've got a great coach in Nick Nurse, so maybe they can make a push and qualify this year. Team USA has some names that you might recognize as finalists.
Yes.
There is a list of 44 names that came out. These names will be whittled down to 12 for the Olympics roster for Tokyo. Steph, Clay, Draymond on that list.
Really?
And,
those sound like familiar names.
I know those guys
from somewhere.
Two of those guys have gold medals. Steph has not played in an Olympic yet.
Yeah, for sure. I think two of those guys can shoot a little bit, just a little bit. I don't know. I think that just shows the talent that the Warriors have accumulated over the years. And, you know, it's crazy to think that Steph has not gone to the Olympics, but if you remember in 2016, you know, he had a little bit of knee troubles in the postseason and sat out the 2016 Olympics. So that's one of his goals. Every time you ask him, he's like, I want to play in the Olympics. Same with Draymond. I want to play in the Olympics. And hopefully, you know, for their sake, that happens for him.
Yeah, Draymond and Clay are both gold medalists. They were teammates. I'm sure they're in Steph's ear letting him know what the experience is like. Steve Kerr, one of the assistant coaches. Greg Popovich is the head coach. Like, this is a great opportunity. I think the men, are they going for their fourth gold medal? I think that's right.
Yes.
I know they won gold last year. So, yeah.
First
I mean, there's always high expectations for Team USA and just the media frenzy. They are expected to be the best team there. You know, they've got to live up to that kind of sense. And I think with Steph Curry on the team, that'll be a new look. You know, that's the expectation that he will be an Olympian.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what else is pretty cool?
What else? What else is cool?
You, but Andre Iguodala returning. It was funky seeing him in a Heat jersey, but also he's wearing number 28 right now because Kelly Olynyk has number 9. I don't know how long that's going to last, by the way. But it was like seeing Andre back was great. I love talking to that guy. He was one of my favorite interviews. He was just like cranky about doing interviews, but when you got him,
I guess nothing has changed.
Oh, he was such a good sport though the other day. I mean, he said a few words to the Chase Center crowd. That was really cool. He gave media a lot of time before and after the game. He was an excellent sport about all of it. And I'm glad he felt the love because he's been so essential to the Warriors dynasty that he needs to be recognized. And one day his number 9 will hang in the rafters.
Yeah, it was very weird seeing him in a Heat jersey. It was weird seeing the number 28. It was just all weird because, you know, and I'm lost for words as to how weird it was. So it was weird seeing him coming out of a visitor's locker room, coming off the bench. But he still had an impact on the game.
Yeah.
I think he was like plus 25 on the court.
That is precisely an Andre stat, right?
Yes,
yeah.
But he only scored like 4 points. But he's like plus 25. he makes an impact defensively. He is going to be a really good player in that system, and I think that I'll be curious to see how he helps the Miami Heat. But it was just weird to see him. Like, not only does not only did all the coaches know him, all the security staff, all the all the ushers, everyone just was happy to see Andre. And, you know, after the game, right after the game, he actually drew a crowd. There was a crowd waiting for him, including myself, that was just waiting to see him after the game. It was nice to see Andre. It was nice to see him and catch up a little bit. And, you know, it's funny because he's been gone, but he hasn't been gone. Like, he sees exactly what everything has been happening living in the Bay Area. And you kind of get a reminder that, like, oh, yeah. And you start to talk about things that are happening in the Bay Area. And, you know, his Niners did really well this season. He was at the NFC Championship game. You know, he has been still in the Bay Area. So he's been gone, but he hasn't been too far.
Yeah. And that's a post-game. And I was so overjoyed I got an interview with him post-game. I wanted to ask him, do you see a relationship with the Warriors in the future? And I tried to leave it open-ended because, you know, he can't say, like, yeah, I'm going to come back here and play. But I was so happy that he said, yes, absolutely. So whatever relationship means can be fluid, but I think he's always going to have a role in this organization or like, some kind of mark. Because he's really player-forward, and he's an exceptional businessman. Like, I've been talking to people who say, like, he can negotiate contracts, and like, he knew exactly what he wanted in the off season. He didn't play in Memphis, but it was all part of this master plan. And don't forget that he's the vice president of the Players Association. I don't know why I'm fuzzy on that suddenly. But he looks out for guys across the league. That's very important. He wants players to be empowered. And I think he leads that way himself as a businessman. He makes great deals, and he's in a wonderful situation now with the Heat, the 2 years, the $30 million to play in Florida, a state that is not taxed that much, a team that is going to be a playoff team. And, you know, he got all this rest. He said his body is feeling the best it has in years. So he's fresh and ready in a great situation.
I'm wondering if he does any TV contracts. I'm wondering if he can be my representation going forward. I think I'm gonna need to talk to him. I need to talk to Andre next time I see him to see if he's well versed in TV, because that was a great negotiation that he went through. And it's do you really expect anything less?
Like, no.
When we saw the news break, did we really expect anything less? Okay, he engineered a trade to South Beach. Boom.
Yep.
Then,
yep.
Oh, he signs a $30 million extension.
Yep.
Okay. I was not really surprised by that. It was Andre. I think Marcus Thompson said Andre always wins, and it's absolutely true.
Yeah. It's good to see that. You know, when you said TV deal, and I'm sure he can help you find some leverage, I was wondering, would Andre ever be a broadcaster? Because he's dabbled in it a little bit, but the only reason why I don't think he could do it is because he would be too honest. I don't think he could, like...
I think that's perfect.
I don't think
for
he
TV.
Could gauge his filter. No, I do too. But
Have
when
you seen
talk
Charles
about
Barkley?
People, when you talk about people that you know, players are kind of like, I know this game so well, but I don't want to call out this guy. And Andre adheres to the truth. Okay, he doesn't want any sort of, like, fibbing or fudging or white lies or anything like that to come out of his mouth. So that's the only reason why I feel like commenting, like doing some color or something like that would be difficult for him, because I think he would just have a smile on his face the whole time and be like, I can't say what I want to say. I can't say what I want to say.
Or he'll say what he wants to say in a very Andre way.
Ooh, which is always. Yeah, he had that touch of media for sure.
Yeah, like I asked him a question about Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant, kind of like going at him after when it was clear that he wasn't going to play for them, and he dodged that question so great. It was such a great dodge. It was
I
love them. He said, "Oh, I love them. I think Ja's a rookie of the year. I think Dylan Brooks is a rookie of the year. You know,
they're both
I don't
rookies
have,
of the year."
Rookie of the year. I think no.
He just said Dylan got a new contract or an extension.
A new contract, yeah, exactly. And then was basically saying he did put in, you know, there's some things that could be not be said in the media, but I have no feelings for this whatsoever. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He did the little needle, like, yeah, you should have told me in private. But
yeah.
I rock with you.
Yeah. Nothing but love.
It was a great dodge. It was a great dodge. It was a little Euro step of the question.
Yeah. Andre Iguodala, boom. I will always keep an eye on his career. Like, there are certain guys we get to know. I think you guys know that I have a fondness for Jordan Bell. Like, we had our rookie seasons, quote-unquote, at the same time.
All
I always want to keep an eye on that dude. Yeah, exactly. And I want to keep an eye on Omari Spellman, too. He went to Minnesota in that D'Lo and Wiggins trade. He was a great person to get to know. He lives life, Omari Spellman does, like, with his whole heart.
Yes.
He cannot hide his emotions, and I love that about him.
100%.
He plays like a bulldog on the court. His hustle plays just watching his face. So I'm going to miss Omari, and I wish him the best. I'll keep an eye on him for the rest of his career.
Hey, it's Tom Haberstroh here, your national NBA insider for NBC Sports and host of the Haberstroh podcast. The NBA trade deadline is in the books, and to make sense of all the madness, I have ESPN's Amin El-Hassan breaking down all the biggest deals and laying out the winners and losers of the day.
They don't have the air of invincibility, and they don't strike fear in their opponents the way the Warriors did.
So download the Haberstroh wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, hang on. I've got a little pad of paper, just topics that we want to get to. All-Star break. Boom, boom, boom. You have any plans for the All-Star break?
Somewhere sunny with a beach. That's all I will say. Very far away from the frozen tundra of Chicago. I hear there's going to be a snowstorm there. I will not be attending All-Star. Shout out to all my friends who are going to be at All-Star. I will be on a beach, and I will be very unplugged. I probably will watch Pascal play in the Rising Stars game, but that's about it. And then I will see you guys. What about you, Kara?
Wait a minute. You're not one for snow, but I got to let the people know, as you've traveled more this season, you got a jacket. Is it Canada Goose?
It is a Canada. I did make it. It was an investment piece, yes.
Oh, no, Canada for Goose. Sure. For sure, because we go to some cold cities, but here comes Logan.
It's funny, though.
Like,
it's funny.
Slippers on and your wool socks and your hood up on your Canada Goose. I'm just trying to paint a picture for the people of Logan traveling.
It's funny, though.
It's
funny because we have one more trip. I didn't make the last five damn trip, which was ironically kind of warm, right, from what I saw. Like, New York was very – Brooklyn was like 55 or something like that.
Yeah, it was temperate. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah,
it was nice.
So I've been wanting to, like, bring the Goose out. I've been wanting to come out, but it hasn't been cold enough. You know what I'm saying?
No, it hasn't. Yeah.
And I'm hoping, like, maybe it's cold enough in this next five-game trip. We got Milwaukee. We got Indiana sprinkled there. Toronto. The Goose is coming out for that. And we got another
good
New York trip. But, yeah, man, it's been an interesting experience. I was talking to you earlier about this is my first time in Phoenix ever. That was not when I was not in the airport. So, It's been fun seeing this country. It's been fun seeing new places, you know, kind of getting your hangouts. I found a nice little restaurant around the corner from my hotel that has the best tacos that I've had in a while.
Ooh.
So, shout out Phoenix and shout out traveling. If you guys
shout
can do
Phoenix.
It, travel.
Yeah. You know, I my first impression of cities is like just the epicenter around the hotel or the arena, right? So it's like I'm here, I get to experience it, but is that the city itself, you know? I think about how lucky I am to go to all these NBA cities. It's like a tour of America. It's really awesome to have this. And I want to see more. Phoenix, like you were saying, is one of those cities that to me has made a great first impression. It's my third time here. What am I talking about? You know what I mean? But I want to see more. It seems like a cool place.
Yeah. Wait, let's do it. This is a good time. Top five cities right now. Boom. Go ahead.
Oh, well, my personal favorite, it's New York. That's where I met my husband. That's where I lived for 5 years. So when the Dubs play Brooklyn or the Knicks, that's always a fun one. The Garden is amazing. I had never been to Chicago before I got this job. So I know it's Chicago in the winter, which is, it's been okay. I definitely want to see Chicago in the summer. I'd love to see a game at Wrigley. I had never been to Miami before I got this job, and Miami is my second favorite after New York.
Okay.
What else? I like Toronto. I like Denver. Denver is a top city. I had to remind myself, like, I feel like I have the worst workouts in Denver. Like, my ritual is after the team lands and we get to the hotel, like, I like to hit the gym right away. I do it before dinner. and I get on, I usually like to get on a Peloton or something. Yes, I'm that person. I am that demographic. And I'm like, why am I sucking air right now? Like, why is this so difficult? It's the Mile High City, dummy. That's why. So, yes, I am a fit person, but oh my gosh, that city kicks my butt.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I think that's it. Okay, what are yours? I know you just named a bunch. Did you name all of them?
I think I have Phoenix is not in my top five. I do rock with Phoenix. The first impression was great. It's not in my top five. No particular order. Toronto. Okay, Toronto's number one. I lied. Toronto is number one. I'm sorry.
Liar.
Toronto is the number one city. I was so the finals was a great experience. I love that city. I cannot wait to go back. That's number one. I'd say I really love going whenever we go to Portland. Really like Portland.
Yeah.
I love Sacramento just because I spent some time in Sac growing up and I got my career started up there, so it's like a homecoming when I do go up to Sac. And where else? I love Denver. Denver's a really nice city, and I think Los Angeles. I love LA, and LA is definitely in the mix in every shape because it's. I always tell people LA is what you make it and LA is what you want it to be. And you can always find a little world in LA. And I always try to find that when I'm there. I try to, get in my own world in LA. So those are my cities.
All right. I like to talk to the other sideline reporters and they say for them, the Bay Area is one of their top five, top three destinations. It's gorgeous all year round. Yeah, for sure. They'll go to the Golden Gate Bridge, or they'll go to the water, or they'll go to Chinatown, whatever they want to do. So it's nice. Like, but we don't have that perspective necessarily. Like, we say all these other travel cities, and then they get to see our home, and it's like this is one of the favorites.
I hear it's better though. People are saying it's nice now because I was talking to Chris Mullen the other day, and he was talking about how. As a visitor, it's gotten better just because the arena is in San Francisco. Now, that's a sour subject for me, but I can understand why, right? Because most times teams would stay in San Francisco but drive all the way to Oakland. And as we know, it's Bay Areans.
Bay Areans.
As we know, it's Bay Areans that – it's hard to get from downtown SF to Oakland and then go right back and then come right back. So I heard it's upgraded now just because, the arena is closer to the team hotels and it's just an easier experience now. So I can get that, but, and I can also – I can see how it's gotten better. So shout out to the Bay Area.
Yeah. You know how we ended up on this tangent?
How did we end up on this tangent?
I asked you what you're doing for All-Star. And then I started talking about your jacket.
Yeah. Yes.
You were talking about Toronto. So we land tonight after the game at like midnight or 1 a.m. or something. And then I'm turning around and going to Hawaii tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
We are out of here. My suitcase is packed. I am not a morning person. I hate it. But if I know that I have to wake up for something like this, Logan, it's no problem. It's okay. I'm going to be in, like, smiley dreamland tonight and then wake up and be on a plane for Hawaii.
That's a flex right there.
I want a social – it's not even a social media blackout. It's, like, a total work blackout. I don't want to look at my email. I don't want to look at Twitter, and I don't want to look at Instagram. Like, I want to float – I want to float through the next 7 days or whatever. So, God.
Yes, all of that. We have a game to cover tonight, don't we? Do we have a game to cover tonight? I feel like I'm in this euphoric space about.
Yes, about All-Star. How's your shirt coming along? You like how you ironed it?
Yeah, it's all right. It'll do. I think I'll look all right tonight.
Okay.
Probably be like, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I'm excited. Also excited to go see the arena tonight. I always like going to see an arena. Getting there a little bit early just to make sure that I know the lay of the land before we interview people and things like that. So I'm curious to see how this what's the Talking Stick Resort Arena?
Yep.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah. So
it's
I'm excited
to
go. Okay. All right.
You'll enjoy
I'm excited.
Friend. All right. I'll see you there in a few
before we go, Wendy's, we got to tap in with Wendy's. Shout out Wendy's before we get out of here. I love Monty always talks about how he loves the soup and how he loves the all that stuff. I love the Baconator. Shout out to Baconator. Shout out Wendy's. Shout out Running Plays. Yes. I just knew we had to do it. I don't even have a prompt. That's how much I love Wendy's. I don't have a prompt.
I want a frosty. Let me get a frosty on the beach. Oh.
Okay. All right. Let's get to vacation. Let's get it. Let's go.
All right. That sounds good. Well, I'll see you when we get back.
All right. Holla.
Or I'll see you in like a few minutes at the arena. How's that?
15 minutes. Bye.
All right. Bye, Logan.
Jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.